Good morning. Welcome to Green Lake Church. We're so delighted that you can join us for worship this morning and for the spiritual connection we can share via the means of electronics. We will begin our service today with a prelude by our minister of music, Wanda Griffiths. Her song is, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." And in today's service, I want to try to encourage us to let that truth sink deeply into the core of our being. The world is full of chaos, but as believers, we hold on to this promise, this assurance that God is watching and active to accomplish good in this world for us and for others. And now, Wanda Griffiths at the piano, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." Thank you, Wanda. Appreciate that. And welcome to all of you. Welcome to Green Lake Church to worship. I know that some of you are joining us from faraway places, New Zealand, Missouri. Thank you for being with us. And for those of you who are here in Seattle, thank you for connecting through this Zoom meeting We're looking forward to the day when we can be together in person. Let's see. I want to begin today with our birthdays. I have a number of them. The first one is Ralph Longway. And I know last week we had Burl, so this has been birthday time at the Longway household. Happy birthday to you, Ralph. And then the big birthday for today. Twyla Lyman is 98 years old today. Twyla, happy birthday. Blessings to you. And we hope that the year to come is a good one for you. We also want to wish happy birthday to Peter Rudolph. And then to Claire Conley. Happy birthday, Claire. Sam Weller. I don't know if you're watching, but I'm sure your mom is. So let Sam know we're wishing him happy birthday, Terry. Maisie Gerlitz, happy birthday to you out there on Bainbridge. Jana Stern, happy birthday. Judy Ulrich, happy birthday to you. Fia Tuatela-Sanz-Sostang, happy birthday, Fia. And then Laura Dorr. Laura, happy birthday to all of you. We hope that the coming year is a good one, that the Lord keeps you healthy and strong and gives your life a great sense of his presence and leading throughout the year to come. At this point, we have a special introduction to make. Shelley Legrone is going to tell us a little bit about our bell performance today. Shelley, over to you.
Good morning. 6 years ago, this summer, Megan had just finished third grade at Cypress Adventist School. That year, she had played in the school handbell choir, which was directed by Alex Gaju, her music teacher. I distinctly remember Alex talking to me after church one Sabbath that fall. And he told me that if I needed another ringer in the Green Lake Ringers, that he would recommend Megan Rickaby. Megan was in fourth grade. I talked with Megan. Yes, she would like to ring. Mom and Dad, sure. It's great. As I recall, I gave her some music. And I invited her to come back to the rehearsal the next Sabbath. And she arrived with her music, all marked up, because she didn't want to mess up. I had assigned her an easy position, but still, it must have been a little scary for a fourth grader to step into a choir of adults. Megan, of course, was warmly welcomed by the grown-ups of the group, excited to watch her grow. Slowly, carefully, three bells, four bells, then trying other positions at the table. Megan took it all in stride. Knowing that most kids like a challenge, I asked Megan and Tatiana Bell, Tatiana had joined our group from Cypress School as Megan had. I asked them if they would like to ring a handbell duet. Well, we could try. And two summers ago, they performed their first handbell duet right here at Green Lake Church, each of them ringing more than one octave of bells. This past summer, this past winter, Megan told me that she would like to play a handbell solo. Wow, that was new territory for me. But I said, sure, we can do that. And today, Megan will play her first handbell solo for our offertory. Her piece, is Like a River Glorious. It's number 74 in our hymnal. And I'm going to get my hymnal right here and read you these words, because I think the words of the first stanza might be an encouragement to you today. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deepen all the way. Trusting in Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Blessings. Back to you, Pastor John.
Thank you, Shelley. I was having to push the buttons here on my iPad. All right. Our next announcement is also musical. And that's our special music today, is a performance put together by Derek Raja and Carl Kleppe. They did all of the mixing and all of the work. And they have with them Hannah Lee and Kellen Kinney. So we're really looking forward to their special music today. And I'm sure you will greatly enjoy it too. And a big thanks to Derek and Carl for the initiative and skill they're bringing to this performance today. Next week, August 1, Sabbath afternoon, Mark Hahn and Ken Fairchild are putting together a hike at Mount Rainier. It's a long hike, 11 miles, going through Grand Park. Some of you have been on that hike in the past. If you would like to be part of that hike, please get in touch with Ken or Mark and let them know. There are some logistics that'll need to be worked out, but it should be a glorious, glorious time there in the mountains. Oh, another announcement. It's been in our newsletter a number of weeks. Cypress Adventist School is looking for a bus driver for this coming year. So if you have any interest in being a bus driver, if you know anybody up in the Linwood area that might be interested in being a bus driver for Cypress Adventist School, please let us know. We very much need a bus driver for this coming school year, assuming that we'll be able to open and hold classes as we plan. And now I've asked Karin to share with you some about the housing ministry. It'll take me just a minute to hand off my gear to her, but Karin will be on next.
So, good morning, church family. It's good to be back in Seattle. And I wanted to just thank you for your continued support for our housing ministry. This last 2 weeks, we have had the opportunity to help two families in a very emergent situation. And it's been because of you and because of the people who have worked closely with housing ministry that we've been able to do this. We had a family. I received a call that from one of the first people that we helped a couple of years ago. And she told me that there was a situation unfolding as she was speaking to me. A young little toddler had, on 4th of July, fallen into a fire pit. He had climbed up on a chair beside the campfire and tipped the chair over, and he and the chair fell into the fire. He suffered burns ranging from first to third degree burns. And he was taken to a hospital, transferred to Spokane. This happened in Idaho. And then he was airlifted to Harborview Burn Center. And it was while his mom was in the helicopter with him and his dad was driving over from Idaho that I received this call. And How to make it all happen? They had no idea where they were going to stay. They hadn't even thought about it. It's during this pandemic. And so because of the way things have been put into place, I was able to email one of the family friends who contacted me, the application form, and she was able to read the questions to the dad over the phone and fill it out, send it back to me. I was able to do the reference check. And by the time they got to Seattle, they had a place to stay. I met him at the Jensen guest suite. It was incredible to see the joy and relief to have them to have some place to stay in this time. The little boy was treated at Harborview, and then they went back for a week in Idaho, and he came back for surgery to have skin grafts, and they stayed about another week, and he's doing very well, and they are very, very thankful. Interestingly enough, while they were in their hospital room in Harborview, they shared that space with another family 2 days later from when they arrived. This family had arrived with a little girl who had been severely burned. She was about 1 year of age. It was a burn from water, hot water. And the family started talking and they said, "Where are you staying?" Because again, the mom came over with the girl, the dad was on his way. It was almost ditto, the same experience. And they said, "Well, this is what happened with us." And they found out that that family was also a Seventh-day Adventist family from Idaho, would you believe, different town. And so the father of the first little boy, he texted me and he said, "I don't know if you have any more space, but could I give him your information?" And so the same thing played out 2 days later, where I was able to email an application and meet, and we put them up in the Meridian guest suite there. I was on the farm at the time, and I was able to have Erica Orban let them in and show them the guest suite. Interestingly enough, the father was from Romania, and when I gave Erica's name to him, he says, "Oh, that sounds like a Romanian name." And when I gave his name to Erica, she goes, "That sounds Romanian." And so when they met, they found out that he had gone to high school in the town where she grew up, and they were able to talk in their own language. And it was quite an interesting story. I just wanted to share these to let you know that the housing ministry is alive and well and continuing to serve others. And it does that because of your support. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Karen, for keeping us up to date with the housing ministry and for the work you do to make it happen. One last word that I want to mention again, as I did last week. If during this time of economic dislocation, you're experiencing some special difficulties, you need some special help, please let us know. We do have some capacity here at the church to provide help to our members who get into difficulty because of these hard times. So please let us know if there's any way that we can help in a concrete way. I think that's it for our announcements. And so now it's time for us to move more into our worship time with our morning hymn, "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise."
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Creator of earth and sky and sea, maker of rocks and birds and trees and all that is, thank you for calling us together this morning in worship and receiving us with your smile. Lord of the nations, we pray that you will hasten the day when spears are transformed into pruning hooks, when swords are turned into plowshares and justice rolls down like the great river. Lord of the seasons, we pray that you will quickly move us beyond this season of epidemic and economic dislocation and bring us back to a better place and better times. Lord of our hearts, we pray that you will work in us and through us. Make us partners with you in advancing the work of your kingdom. Teach us in the week to come. Fill us with your spirit that we may, in partnership with you, accomplish justice and peace. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before I talk about the featured offering today, I want to thank you most sincerely for supporting the Green Lake Church budget, as you've done so generously in the past. The Finance Committee reported to the board in business session that even in these upsetting times, we were only a very few hundred dollars below goal for the fiscal year that ended the end of June. Thank you so much for your generosity. I also want to let you know that the Hands Across the Water offering is currently supporting Priya Ministries, that is the Chedilawadas School and the teachers in India. The offering today is for Washington Youth Sunset Lake Camp. When I first read this, I thought it was very, very bold to be promoting an offering for a camp that's closed for the summer due to COVID-19. So I Googled it to see just how this was justified, and I was extremely pleased to find that an offering is absolutely appropriate. Sunset Lake Camp has a fine Facebook page, Google it and you'll find it, which lists lots of links for online camp programs and is providing programs as much as possible. I'll read what they wrote because they explain it so much better than I can tell you. Our summer ministry team is at camp, trained, and ready to connect with you. This summer will feature weekly videos every Monday, a podcast every other Wednesday, and an online campfire program every Friday night. And I'll break the reading here to just tell you, I looked up the online campfire program, and it has run for 2 Friday nights and is well worth watching. Back to the reading, and a whole lot of other surprises. Stay tuned because we hope to have more camp events just as soon as possible. Life may be a little crazy right now, but hang on. We know how the story ends. Let's pray for the offering for Sunset Lake Camp. Dear Lord, thank you for the very dedicated Sunset Lake ministry team. Thank you for their energy, their good health, and their inventiveness in the ways they're working for Washington Youth. Thank you for the offerings in the past that have allowed them the funds to adapt the usual summer camp program to the very unusual realities of this summer. Please bless this offering. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. First of all, I just have to say thank you to Megan. That was absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much for that beautiful music. Today, I want to talk to you about Jesus and how he wants to care for us and how we can rest in him. Jesus said how he would like to gather us like a hen gathers her chicks and protects them. And so I want to talk to you about Mama Hen at the farm. We have a wonderful Mama Hen. She's a black cocoomerin. And she really takes being a mother seriously. She signaled to us that she wanted to be a mom this spring by going what we call broody. That is, she sat in the nest box. She plucked out some of her feathers from her breast, and she just sat there. Now, she had laid some eggs, but we didn't realize at first that she wanted to really sit on them. And so we had taken them away from her. And when we realized that she really, really wanted to be a mama, my daughter Bonnie gave her some eggs. She actually bought some fancy eggs from somebody. These eggs were supposed to be fertilized, and she went and bought them and put them under Mama Hen. And then she added some more eggs from some of our other hens, so that Mama Hen had about 9 eggs total. But a very sad thing happened early on when Mama Hen got down on one of the very few times that she got down to get some water, and she jumped back up into the nest box. Something happened. One of the eggs shells was perhaps too thin, and it cracked and spilled out the egg all over the other eggs. And my daughter Bonnie said, "Oh dear, I don't know if we're going to be able to get anything from all her hard work, because it may contaminate the other eggs." But we waited and we waited and we waited the 21 days. And you know what happened? 2 of all of those eggs hatched, only 2. Now, I want to tell you that before the eggs hatch, the little chicks inside, they hear their mama because she starts talking to them. I don't know what triggers that. Maybe she hears or feels movement, kind of like a human mom feels the baby moving and starts talking to it. She does the same thing. She starts talking, and the babies inside the shell, before they ever hatch, they start talking to her, and they know each other's voice. And when the babies hatch, they don't eat anything for a day or two. They have eaten enough of what is in the shell inside to sustain them while they get warm underneath the mama and get strong enough to venture out. So for the first couple of days, they're just under the mama. During this time, my daughter Bonnie said, "You know, oh dear, there's only 2. And we waited and waited, no more hatched. And she says, "What if something happens to one of them? I'll only have 1 chicken, that one little tiny chicken. And that will not be good when we try to introduce it to the whole flock." So she went out and she saw there was a sale on chicks at one of the feed stores. There were dollar chicks. And she went out and she bought 4 more chicks. Now, the trouble with these chicks is that they were already a week old. They had been hatched in an incubator. They had never had a real mama. And they were quite a bit larger. They already knew how to eat themselves. You know, They could eat. They didn't have to be taught to eat. They already knew how to eat chicken food. And how was she going to introduce them? They were still small. Would the mama accept them? Well, the best time to introduce new chicks to a mama who already has chicks is at nighttime. And so when it got nighttime and it was dark, Bonnie slipped in those four new little chicks who were quite a bit older than the two that were just like 1.5 days old now. And she slipped them underneath, and then she went out later. They were still under there. And then the next morning she went out early. Was the mama going to reject them or accept them? And she noticed that the mother wasn't pecking them. The mama hen was not pecking the new orphan chicks that had been put under her, but she was a little bewildered because she would talk to them and they wouldn't talk back to her. They did not know her language. They hadn't had a mama hen to talk to them. And so Bonnie watched carefully to make sure that she wouldn't kill them. But no, she didn't. She was just a little bewildered about it all. You could see from her actions that she would talk to them and that she would wait for them to talk back to her, and nothing, silent. For their part, the new little chicks liked being under the mama hen. It was warm under there, and they liked using her for a nice place to stay. And that's really all they did. They just went under there for warmth, and then they would go out and they would eat the little chicken food that Bonnie now was sprinkling for the mama hen and the two new baby chicks as well. And this continued for a couple of days, or maybe even a little longer. The mama hen with her two little chicks that she had hatched out, they talked to each other back and forth. The mama hen would talk, the little chicks would talk. And do you know what happened over time? You wouldn't believe it. Those four little chicks that were already older, they heard the conversation between the mama hen and those two little chicks that she had hatched, and they listened. And you know what happened after about 4 or 5 days? They started learning the language, and they started answering the mama hen, and they started understanding, not just somehow they understood the language. They understood when the mama was calling, they understood what she was saying, and they started talking back to her. And after about a week, you would not be able to tell what chicks had been given to her as older adopted chicks and what chicks she had hatched out herself. They were all one happy family. They were all listening and communicating, and they all knew the same language. It was amazing to watch the mama. Now, this mama hen not only protected her chicks and called them underneath her wings, she took them out amongst all the farm animals, out where, you know, at night we would put them in the chicken house and lock them up. But during the day, she started taking them out to the garden. She would take them out and they would follow the fence line where there was protection, where there was plants. And she would venture them out to take them out. And then she would talk to them. She would tell them how to forage. She showed them how to scratch for things. It was just fascinating to watch her. But here was something else fascinating. We had other animals there. We have big ducks, and they were adolescent ducks. There was two groups of them. And anytime that the mama hen encountered the ducks, she was a ferocious mama. In fact, I don't think there was anything or anybody that she wouldn't have taken on. I saw her when the ducks got too close to her little her chicks, I saw her jump at them and just ravage those ducks, those big ducks, and knock them over. And the ducks, their wings were all in a skew, and they had to get up and shake, and they ran off, six big ducks from one mama hen. Do you know, if mama hen was quite happy for us to feed her and her chicks, but if we were to reach down and try to pick up one of those chicks, we probably would have been ravaged as well. She was a ferocious mama, ferocious in her love. And I've asked Gumi to put a clip on when I'm done with the story to just show you Mama Hen. In this clip, it's only about 22 or 3 seconds. You'll see that we're throwing some raspberries down for the chicks and the mama. And the mama will run around. And if you notice carefully, it'll look like the mama's trying to beat the chicks to the raspberries. But if you look carefully, she picks the raspberry up, but she doesn't eat it. She picks it up and then drops it and calls her chicks to show them this is a new kind of food that they've never had, and they should experience it because it's very good. And I want you to think about your Jesus, our Jesus, who loves us, who wants to take care of us, protect us, shelter us, fight for us, show us how to live. And then I want you to think about how you could be like the little chicks that have grown up knowing Jesus, and how with your communicating with your Jesus and living your life, you can influence others to know how to love and serve Jesus as well. So Gumi, could you put the clip on? Thank you so much.
Will you join me in prayer? Oh Lord, thank you that even when we cannot be together in person, we can worship together online. Thank you that even though we don't see you in person, nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the comforter and sustainer in these difficult times. We pray for everyone affected by the virus. Everyone affected by losing a loved one, or by being ill themselves, or by being unemployed or lonely, or overworked, working from home with kids at home, or by just being exhausted and tired of coping and adjusting and tired of figuring things out. Thank you for the assurance that you're with us and that you walk with us. Thank you that you will see us through. Lord God, because we are connected, we hurt when those around us hurt. Every one of us has an ever-lengthening list of persons and situations and worries that we talk to you about, sometimes all day long. We thank you that you hear us. As a congregation together, we pray for the Green Lake Church childcare and preschool workers that they may be safe working with the children and will keep the children safe. As a congregation together, we pray for our relatives, our friends, and our members who have health issues. Ann Jensen White, Ariana Fultz Valenta, Doris Fultz's great-granddaughter, Becky Meacham, a good friend of Donna and Ken Van Fossen, Davy Reed, the young son of friends of the Dunstan family, Ed and Alma Gonzaga, the parents of Katrina Carley, Jennifer Cummings, Nola Jean Bamberry, Rhonda Casper Ford, a sister of Dennis Casper, Roger Ferris, and Royalyn Case, the aunt of Ken Case. You know what each one needs and what support their caregivers and loved ones need. Please help our concerned and loving thoughts become caring actions, because we're your hands and feet and heart in this world. Please help us to see that the current racial and social justice ferment in America as an opportunity to create lasting change. Help us not to linger in indignation and anger, but to commit to the necessity of personal examination of our unconscious biases. Help us maintain our resolve to do justice and engage in the long-term work necessary to produce the goals of justice and equality in action and in law. Please direct us, focus us, motivate, energize, and sustain our efforts. Please help us to crown this country's good with sisterhood and brotherhood, and do all that we can to be an outpost of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson comes from Psalm 131, verses 1 to 3. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, a psalm of David. Lord, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself, like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, now and always.
To the Lord, The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 80. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry in Israel. May the Lord bless the hearing of the word.
Before I begin my sermon, I have a couple of more announcements to share with you. The first one is, on August 15, we are having an International Sabbath celebration. And we would really like to have as many of our Green Lake family participate as possible, especially those of you who have roots in other countries besides the United States. We'll send out, in the Thursday email, we send out an announcement, but we're going to send it out as a separate announcement, a dedicated email just to this program early this next week. Keep an eye out for it. It will include more instructions on how you can participate. And we also would love to welcome people who have a heart connection with Green Lake, but are not necessarily members here. So if you're watching, or if you have friends who are connected with Green Lake in their heart, we would love to have them participate if possible. So keep your eye out for the email this week, and it will give you more details about how you can do that. One other announcement, we had Megan Rickaby playing the bell choir, the bell performance. She has a new cousin, Dan and Rachel had a baby boy, and there were some complications, but he's doing fine. So I want to congratulate the family on a new baby and our church family on adding somebody new to our life, our family together. I'd like to begin with reading again the words from our Old Testament scripture. Lord, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a contented child. Yes, my soul is like a contented child. Good words for today. You know, we live in crazy times. I don't need to tell you that. The pandemic, economic uncertainty, these are difficult times. And if you pay attention to the news, if you're watching Facebook, various social media, I can get all tied up in knots. There is a lot to worry about, a lot to fret about. And there's that sense that there's not much I can do. You know, I want to do something. I want to make things better, but it is not in my hands to do so. And so, you know, we get tied in knots. When we get together, we talk to each other on the phone, in person. We're talking about things we're worried about. I don't want to minimize the importance of concern and engagement. And we will come back to that in future sermons. We've talked about it in the past. But occasionally, it's important for us to take the words of this psalm and apply them to our hearts. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I have to laugh when I read this. One of the things that we often complain about and laugh about is on Facebook, where half the world appears to be these days. It's very easy for each of us to position ourselves as experts on whatever we're talking about. So we're experts on epidemiology. We're experts on viruses. We're experts on police matters. We're experts on everything. And we have articles and videos that back us up and make us experts. When, of course, we're not experts. We can't be experts on all the things we talk about. And this psalm here just maybe is a little bit of a challenge to us. You know, when I, you know, whatever opinion I have, of course I'm right. And of course I have thought well about it. And this psalm is just poking a little bit of fun at my confidence in my own opinions. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. Lord, help me when I express my opinions to be a little more humble, maybe a little more respectful toward those who don't share my viewpoint. This is a good psalm for today. Lord, my heart is not proud. Oh, Lord, help me that my heart may not be proud. My eyes are not haughty. Help me not to look down on those with whom I disagree. And then that next part, which I have paraphrased. I have calmed and quieted myself like a contented child. Yes, my soul is like a contented and confident child at home. Seems to me that we will do a better job of being citizens of the world if we take some focused time to cultivate our awareness of our place in the household and the kingdom of God. Within the kingdom of God, within the household of God, we are beloved children. Karin, in her children's story, talked about a mama hen and her chicks. And it's fun to watch the chicks. They are bold. And then the moment they become afraid, they run and get under mom and then stick their heads out. Bold again once they're under mom, because they know they're in a secure place. And we will do well if we cultivate an awareness of our secure place in God. I would draw our attention to the words from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2 about Anna, a prophet, in the days when Jesus was born. Reading now, beginning in verse 36. Anna, a prophet, was there in the temple when Jesus was brought by his parents for his dedication. She was a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. And some translations say she lived as a widow for 84 years. That would make her really, really old. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon, one of the old priests, was talking with Mary and Joseph. And she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. I like this picture of somebody late in her life who found her meaning and purpose simply in worship. Now, all of life is not worship. I mean, unless you define worship so broadly that it becomes everything, but then it's almost meaningless. No. Her life, her entire life was religious practice. She had, you know, raised her children. She had done those things that you do when you are younger. She had made her place. She had done what she could to change the world. And now she was old. And she found a smaller place to be in terms of sphere of activity. She found her home in the temple and in worship. And then when she saw the baby Jesus and said, this is the center of what I've been hoping for, what we as a people have been praying for, she then told everybody about it. It's here. It is happening. The Messiah is on the ground, connecting with each other. You know, right now, as we're dealing with the chaos that's in the world, the fretting that's in the world, I think it is more important than ever that we connect with one another through worship and church. Excuse me just a minute. Sorry about that. You know, we can't be together in person, but we can connect our hearts. And I think that connecting our hearts in worship is even more important now than ever. It is the way we keep our hope alive, or at least one of the ways we keep our hope alive. And here at Green Lake Church, we do it not only in the worship service where we have the music and the preaching, but we also do it in our Sabbath school classes where we talk together, we process what we're feeling, what we're thinking in the context of looking at a passage of scripture. Seems to me that this is, it's vitally important. And it is one of the ways that we quiet our souls within us. We will do a better job of being God's people out in the world if we take time to quiet our souls within us in the context of communion with God and fellowship with each other. This week, we received news of the death of John Lewis, the great civil rights leader. And a quote that I've seen many people cite through the week strikes me as being relevant here. You know, he wrote, "Do not get lost in the sea of despair. Be hopeful. Be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime." I think it's important for us to embrace this. In John Lewis's lifetime, in my lifetime, we have seen a lot of change, a lot of progress in the United States, specifically in the area of race relations. Things are better than they used to be. And there's far to go, lots more to do. But John encourages us, Mr. Lewis encourages us, don't despair, live in hope, keep moving forward. Remember the progress we've made, dedicate yourself to moving forward, and understand that moving forward is not inevitable, it is not accidental, it is something that we do by intention and by effort. To continue what he says, our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. And that is true for every struggle to move forward in righteousness, whether we're dealing with race relationships, how we treat women and children, how we deal with economic opportunity, how we deal with all the struggles and problems of the world. Jesus calls us to be his light in the world and to make things better. And that is indeed the struggle of a lifetime. Lewis goes on to say, never be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble, necessary trouble. To move forward, we will have to disturb the status quo. And that's always received as trouble. But it's important that as we make efforts to move things forward, to make things better, which God has called us to do from the very beginning, from the day of creation. God told Adam and Eve to tend the garden, take care of things, make them better. We are still called to do that. But I think it's really, really important that we do that from a place of regularly quieting our soul and remembering our place in the household of God, our place in the kingdom of God, and to nourish our hope. Because hope means that we will struggle not in bitterness, but in righteousness. In addition to our life together, our Zoom worship meetings, our Zoom Sabbath schools, I think especially during these times, it's really important for us to look to our own lives and embrace our own personal disciplines of nourishing our soul. Daily practice of prayer, of meditation, of Bible reading, of listening to music that nourishes us is indispensable if we're going to be the people the world needs at this time. And we can do that God will be in us as we open ourselves to him through regular spiritual practice. I could talk a long time about various kinds of practices, about the value of it, but I'm not. I want to go to the Nike ad. Just do it. Today, on Sabbath, make sure you're taking time through this day to nourish your soul, to quiet your soul. And then every day in the week to come, take some time every day to connect with God, to nourish your soul, to feed the hope that God calls you to, so that you and I, that we together, may be instruments of God's peace. Now we'll have our closing hymn, He Leadeth Me. Let's pray together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us for worship here at Green Lake Church today. We pray that God will bless you in the week to come, that he will keep you, and that through you, he will be active in your home, in the places where you work, and touch all you meet. And now, to close our service, our minister of music, Wanda Griffiths, has a postlude for us. Wanda?